urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, friends. It's May 5th, 2025. I'm in Philadelphia, where I'm at the moment. It was just raining cats and dogs, as they say. I guess that's a Philly thing to say that. And we need the rain so much to fill our reservoirs and to help with the drought, and I'm sure throughout the country. So we thank you, Lord, for the rain today. We thank you for all the things that we take for granted. Lord Jesus, we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, we pray for world peace. We pray that all people with hatred and divisions would come to love and embrace each other. And we pray for the spirit of understanding. Father God, we pray for healing for those who are listening, those who are praying for others. We pray for the great gift of the Holy Spirit to descend upon all the listeners of this radio network. We thank you and praise you in advance for all that you're doing. And in a special way, yesterday during the Wake Up America dinner, at the end of the dinner, when I was about to leave, actually, a lovely woman named Janine came up to me and said she listens every Monday. And so, Janine, I promise to mention your name. And thank you for being a loyal listener. And we will pray for your husband, Patrick. You asked for special prayers for Patrick. So I pray that you're listening today and know that your request for prayer for your husband, Patrick, and for you, we offer this up today in this radio apostolate for the Lord Jesus to touch both of you and your family in a very special way. We pray for all the others who are listening right now who need healing, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, for all that you are about. In your holy name, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, for those of you who attended the Wake Up America dinner yesterday, it was a lovely afternoon. Despite the rain, many people, they were a little delayed in getting there, but what a beautiful afternoon. And for those of you who didn't make it, make sure you make the next dinner, because it's always so powerful to be with the people who listen and pray for you, and to meet and greet all the broadcasters and Kathleen and the In His Sign Catholic Network staff. And God has blessed this apostolate in so many ways. And Kathleen will be coming up on 50 years in ministry. This is what they said yesterday. 50 years in ministry. Can you imagine? And I always get the number of children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. The number keeps growing every time we're on the air. So I do know she has 12 married children, and I know it's 50-some, high 50-some grandchildren, and I think it's like high 30 great-grandchildren. So, and 50 years in ministry. So we thank God in advance for the gift of Kathleen McCarthy. We pray for all the people related to her, her legacy, that all will continue this legacy of preaching, teaching, and healing throughout their lives, that the McCarthy legacy will continue. And we thank you and praise you for this apostle of Jesus in your holy name. Well, you know, we talk about two fundraisers a year, and I wanted to bring this up, the golf outing and this Wake Up America dinner. Now, Kathleen isn't one to be saying, oh, help contribute to the apostolate. She never, ever mentions this. If you want to sponsor a radio broadcast, it's quite easy. All you have to do is call Maureen at 610-527-2906 and just sponsor a broadcast. And then Kathleen prays for your special intentions, or if you decide to remain anonymous, she will pray for you as an anonymous person and all your prayer intentions. So this is the only time that she really ever asks anyone to participate in giving money, because that money, 100% of it, goes to radio airtime. And it's Kathleen takes nothing from this apostolate. Never has, never will. Neither do the broadcasters. So be assured that this may be one of the only nonprofit ministries in the country that doesn't have a lot of overhead, and which people, you know, take away and chip away the funds which are given and donated. So, and it's also a nonprofit. It's tax deductible. So if you decide to sponsor a radio broadcast, it's a tax deduction. And it's a no-brainer. And how powerful to have people from all over the world praying for your special intention. So today, I highly encourage you, if you've never sponsored a radio broadcast, I believe it's $250, call Maureen and sponsor a day or an hour on this radio network. Call 610-527-2906. Well, I've been praying. What do you want me to preach on today, Lord? And as sitting around the table with all the broadcasters, with the exception of our wonderful Ken Johnson and Father Doug McKay, it just is amazing the mixture of gifts. It is astonishing the different types of gifts that God has given all of us and how we all approach this ministry in a different way. It's all God-formed. It's not human-formed, and it's not strategic meetings and team meetings and everything else. It truly is God-given. It's the Holy Spirit. So we thank God. And Frank Basil, I have to thank him because I knew him before Kathleen was on the air, and we were sharing stories, a story yesterday, which I think is the funniest. I would love to be in the studio with him as he recalls it. When Dom Lucchieri was on the air in Havertown in a very small, I mean small, room, had sawdust on the room, on the floor, and motorcycle tracks on the wall. Well, at that time, my children were small, and I had a minivan, and I parked it out front of the studio, the little office. And when I came out of the building, my minivan was gone. And I remember turning to Dom Lucchieri saying, "What happened to my minivan?" And he goes, "I don't know." So we searched around, and here was this tiny sign that said you couldn't park there. Of course, I didn't see it because I was running in late for the radio broadcast. So Dom Lucchieri found my minivan at some, I don't even know what it, municipal parking lot. It was pretty far away, and I remember the cost was $80, and you couldn't put it on a credit card. And I didn't have $2 to my name. And I remember Dom paying $80 to release my minivan. But most importantly, I'm laughing because Frank remembers the studio with the sawdust on the floor and the, I don't know how motorcycle tracks actually got up on the wall. I have no idea, but that was a funny time. Long before these radio broadcasts, you know, extended to 2 hours. So great stories. And I'm so grateful for Frank and his wife, Judy, for all the years of ministry that they have contributed and volunteered behind the scenes. And wow, he probably has a lot of other stories he could share from the early days through Kathleen and all the broadcasters. So someday we're going to get Frank on the air and to share those stories. Okay, so what in the world does the Lord want today? Now, the month of May, how many of you who are listening remember the month of May, of course, is Mary's month, the Blessed Mother's month. If you went to Catholic school, you had May processions and you crown the Blessed Mother. And if you have a Blessed Mother statue in your home, you know, I was raised that you crown her. Lilies of the field, little tiny, I just can't even remember. They were lilies of the field that I would pick from my mom's garden, which was very small, and I would make a crown for the Blessed Mother outside. I still am looking for a crown. I don't have a crown for my Blessed Mother statue outside, so I'm praying, how can I make a crown or buy a crown that could really withstand the weather? But anyway, Mary, this is her month. And no matter what religion you are, listen to the story of Mary. Because we don't put her up with Jesus. She is the mother of God, and we love her. We love her. And don't you love your mother and carry a picture of your mother in your wallet? Well, that's the same thing. We love her so much. And we pray for her intercession, because a mother saying to her son, now, Janine needs this for her husband, Patrick, and Judy and Joey. You need this. Jesus is going to listen to his mother. He loves her so much. So we're going to talk a little bit about the reign of Jesus through Mary, because there is a misunderstanding of this. So you were born, and I was born into a culture of our parents, right? Siblings, extended family, friends, and this culture taught us a language and gave us values. And that's why I'm talking about, remember, crowning Mary in the May processions, and I believe the Catholic schools still do this. You had a neighborhood culture and a school culture. So back in the day, we would say, oh, what parish do you belong to? Or what school do you belong to? Remember that? And as you grew, you chose your own culture, where you would live, whom you would marry, and what work you would do. And you chose to belong to a church or to stop going to church. And I pray, if you're listening today and you stop going to church, that by the end of the broadcast, the Blessed Mother touches your heart with her heavenly love and you go back to church. Now, it's obvious if you're listening to me today, you listen to the radio. You probably go to movies. You watch television. You choose your friends. Now, every moment of your life, you're immersed in the world's culture. Now, this is extremely powerful to understand and always exerting a force upon you. If you understand the culture, you'll understand what's happening to you. Yesterday, while Malvern Retreat House, I worked and consulted there for many years in marketing. I said to the now president, Michael Norton, Malvern has a culture. The staff, the people who volunteer, it has a specific culture. So someone coming from the outside just can't say, I'm going to work there. Because it takes a while to become part of the culture of how, of the mission of that retreat house. The same is for this apostolate. There is a culture to this apostolate, which is healing, teaching, and preaching, and intercessory prayer. There is a culture. And if you're listening, when you listen to our other broadcasters, you're immersed in the culture of this magnificent radio network. Now, this culture has entered you and deeply affects your thinking, doesn't it? And choosing. Now, you must see this world in God's light and be aware of its danger to your eternal salvation. You live according to role models that you experience. What? Really? During your formative years, that's when you're young, in your teens, in your 20s, you observed your parents and siblings. Now, hopefully they were good role models. Now, I'm sure we have listeners who are saying, I didn't have good role models. You entered adolescence and many other people entered your inner circle to form your culture. Now, one day I'm going to tell you a story about St. Anthony the Hermit. One day after his parents died, St. Anthony attended Mass and read Jesus's words, go, sell all you have, and come follow me. That's from Mark 10, verse 21. Now, he used his inheritance to help his younger sister. At 21 years of age, he left his city to live nearby in total solitude. Now, when thousands of others joined him, the monastic life began in the church. Now, although the monastery is not for everyone, it does really exemplify the Christian call to leave aside the world's culture. I had the great privilege yesterday of listening to Sam D'Amico and Mary D'Amico talking on the side about their recent visit to Rome and to Assisi and to Florence, Italy, and how St. Clair impacted Sam D'Amico in such a profound way. And Hal, remember the story. She held up the monstrance to hold back the Muslims who were coming in to cut their heads off. And it stopped an army. They were coming in to get her. And St. Francis, how he lived a life of solitude. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about St. Louis de Montfort. Many of you who are listening know about the 33 days of consecration. But those who are listening who do not know of this, we're going to talk a little bit about St. Louis de Montfort because it is the month of Mary. And this consecration is something we should all consider. Now, St. Louis de Montfort, he wrote, "You are crusaders united to fight the world. Be valiant warriors who refuse to yield an inch. You pass through this world as a visitor and a pilgrim. Know that heaven is your homeland. Heaven is our homeland. This earth cannot make us happy. It will never make us happy. There is no perfect calm in the stormy sea of living on earth." Does this sound familiar? "And whenever the world insults us, they're giving us jewels and setting us on a throne. Divine wisdom made copies of God's intellect and will and infuse these into men today." Now, why did St. Anthony leave his nice home? Do you know why? Why did St. Anthony, now we're talking about St. Anthony the Hermit, leave his nice home? Why did St. Francis Xavier leave the University of Paris and go to India? Why did all the saints change their lives so much? Because God awakened them. They experienced another world known as the Kingdom of God. And this is what we want all of our listeners of this radio network to experience. They saw the visible world and they saw Jesus' world. They set aside this world to share in Jesus' kingdom. It's as simple as that. Now, when God created the whole world, it was very good. That's from Genesis 1, verse 31. Sin entered the world and contaminated the culture. Now, you can only understand where we're going with this since I started out talking about our culture. And when Jesus came, the world hated him. And he warned his disciples that the world would also hate them. Now, the world's culture, which is an enemy to his kingdom, it lives in you. It lives in me. It lives in your family, your neighbor, and has power over you. So you have to get rid of it. What if someone gave you a beautiful set of new furniture? It's not the Price is Right. Every day is not the Price is Right in our spiritual work. To accept this great gift, you first have to get rid of your old furniture, right? In order to get the new furniture. Now, God offers you his new world, the kingdom. And we're going to be talking about 33 days of consecration when we're going to try to get rid of that old furniture to make room for the new furniture. Now, St. Ignatius of Loyola was a Spanish soldier who loved to dance with beautiful women. What? I never knew this until my research. Did you know that? St. Ignatius of Loyola was a Spanish soldier who loved to dance with beautiful women. Now, getting wounded turned out to be a good fortune for him because during his recovery, he read about the life of Christ and the lives of the saints. He compared his two worlds, his life as a soldier, dancing with beautiful women, and the peace he experienced at the thought of Christ's kingdom. Now, after, we're talking about Ignatius of Loyola, after regaining his health, he spent 2 whole years in solitude, experiencing God. Now, this is when he wrote his 30-day spiritual exercise, which has helped thousands experience God. His final meditation, my friends, is on the two kingdoms. The retreatant, if you're doing this, is forced to make a choice. Turn back to the world or to move ahead into God's kingdom. Now, if you do the 33 days of consecration through St. Louis de Montfort, you will be making the same choice. That's right. You'll be making the same choice. Now, St. Louis de Montfort writes, "Right now, our loving Savior has his eyes on you." I believe, my friends, right now, if you're listening, St. Louis de Montfort wants you to know that our loving Jesus has his eyes on you. The little group following Jesus speaks about prayer and penance. You encourage one another to leave the world behind. Now, if you're resolved to become friends of God, resolved to drink the cup that Jesus drank. If you're not among those who accept his love, you're among the lost. We talk about, and we have for months and months, about a family spirit, a school spirit, a spirit of the nation. Decades ago, the world consisted of the family, the neighborhood, the school, the church, which was all easy to control. It was our culture that we grew up in. Now, the world consists of televisions, iPods, the internet, social media. And these influences grow every day, and enemies of religious faith use them. They're tools. Father Chad Rippenberger talks about this all the time. He's an exorcist. How social media is an instrument of the evil one. It can be used for good, but you must be aware that it's also used the other way. Now, the wisdom of St. Louis de Montfort is needed more now than ever, and this is why I've been led to talk to you about this today. Empty self of the spirit of the world, and we're going to talk about how to do that. Now, some of you who are listening, if you're on the Schuylkill 295, 495, on the back roads, in the kitchen, at work, I bet some of us think that the world, we don't think the world's a problem, right? Now, I want you to answer this really, truly, honestly. Do you think the world is a problem? Now, I want you to examine your thoughts and feelings at this very moment. Aren't you always pulled up in what you have just read or heard or seen? Now, don't thousands of images flow through your mind every day as you wake up and you check your phone, you check things. But most of these are worldly images. They're not devout ones. Although, my friends, things will be changing. True devotion, with St. Louis de Montfort, 33 days of consecration, places the Blessed Mother's flame in our hearts. If all your windows are open to the world's winds, pollen, dust, you won't have any flame left. So get down to the serious work of emptying yourself of the world spirit. And as soon as the Blessed Mother finds even any part of you empty of the world, she'll fill it with her heavenly fire. Now, St. Francis of Assisi experienced Jesus' kingdom. He knew he had to leave his world of Assisi. He had been the center of young people's gathering. To live quietly outside the city. Now, one rainy night, he slipped back and looked through the window of a friend's house where the usual party was being held. And he was a partier. And at that moment, Francis made his decision. He left the city, returned to his solitude, and set aside the world of parties that he had so much enjoyed. Not that he hated them, he enjoyed them. Now, St. Louis de Montfort says in his writings, in True Devotion, fulfill your spiritual duties and you'll find criticism and persecution without your seeking it. Through Adam's sin and our own sins, everything becomes debased, even the powers of our soul. You have the complacency of Lucifer by imagining that you are somebody. Oh, that you are somebody. And God is like a king, observing you from a mountain. You are his foot soldier, fighting for him in battle. This is what we want you to become, a foot soldier fighting for God in battle. Now, most of us know the story of Joseph being sold into exile in Egypt by his brothers. Do you remember that? Few know that when he arrived, he was purchased by the Pharaoh's chief steward and became the head of his household staff. They trusted Joseph fully. Now, unfortunately, his wife lusted for Joseph, who was strikingly handsome. Now, we're not talking about Joseph, the father of Jesus. When she attempted to seduce him, he said, "You are his wife. How should I commit such a wrong and be condemned before God?" And this act of purity prepared him for his greatness over all of Egypt. He was in prison, but when Pharaoh saw his great gift of prophecy, he made him in charge of all of Egypt. Although Jesus never harmed anyone, he had many enemies, didn't he? Even today. And when he went to Nazareth to preach to his hometown synagogue, the crowd grew angry and tried to kill him. They rose up and led him to the edge of a hill, intending to hurl him down. But he's passed through their midst. That's from Luke 4:30. Now, the world sees anger as a normal response. We've been taught, hey, get angry. You're justified. There is justifiable anger. There is healthy anger. But boy, are we taught anger as a normal response. Now, if someone hurts you, strike them back. That's what we're told. However, Jesus teaches, forgive your enemies. Pray for those who hurt you. Now, it's really inevitable, isn't it, that people hurt us every day. Sometimes with the best intentions, they don't really mean it, but they hurt us. Others hurt us deliberately. Now, how do we respond? We remember, we store up the hurt, we nourish it, we feel justified when we cannot get it out of our minds. And guess what? Sometimes we retaliate. And my friends, that's a sin of revenge. That's revenge. Now, Jesus taught the best reason for forgiveness. If you forgive others their faults, the Heavenly Father will forgive yours. That's just a pretty good deal, isn't it? If you forgive, then the Heavenly Father will forgive you. Considering how much we've hurt God, on the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." Luke 23, verse 34. Now, Mary was in the synagogue at Nazareth when they tried to kill Jesus. She was also at Calvary when the soldiers nailed Jesus to the cross. She heard the cruel remarks and the laughter. "If he's the Messiah, let him come down." Experiencing all this, she forgave. In the consecration prayer of True Devotion, St. Louis de Montfort, 33 Days of Consecration, we pray, "Oh Mary, I give you all my interior goods. That includes all the hurts that we have suffered and all the memories we hold on to." Now, for those of you who never heard of St. Louis de Montfort, he was a priest for 16 years, from 1700 to 1716. He touted France preaching and made many enemies because he stressed the tender love of Jesus and Mary. And he was literally thrown out of many towns, my friends, not allowed to enter others. Well, he kept on forgiving and he moved on. Now, isn't that something we need to think about? He kept forgiving and moving on. Now, St. Louis wrote, "Our barefoot and bloody Christ leads a valiant group up a narrow road, but only a handful follow him." Now, if you're resolved to become friends of God, resolved to drink the cup that Jesus drank, and as members of Christ, you must expect suffering. Christ the King looks with pleasure upon the person who struggles with this world and with his own temptations. After the break, we'll be returning. We'll be talking about True Devotion, St. Louis de Montfort, and how our lives can change to that of one of abandonment. Stay tuned, my friends.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, which is heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. And it's such a pleasure to be with you. I just had an idea. Let's see how many people respond. Kathleen McCarthy will be celebrating 50 years in ministry. 50. Why don't we ask 50 people to sponsor 50 radio shows as a gift to her? Not only should we present a spiritual bouquet to her, I don't think she's listening today. So this is why it just hit me during the commercial break. I need 50 people to sponsor 50 radio shows throughout the next year. So give Maureen a call at 610-527-2906. You can put it on a credit card. It would be such a wonderful gift for Kathleen. 50 years in ministry. Let's cover 50 radio shows, 50 radio broadcasts that she has no idea what's happening, as well as spiritual bouquets from all our listeners from all over the world. Won't you join me, please? So, is your life filled with anxiety? Our lives are filled with anxiety. In our modern world, nothing is stable, right? Highly trained people have no jobs today. Marriages are breaking up. Children are growing up and disappointed by their parents. No one can claim financial security. Sickness intrudes. Death comes to a spouse. Fears have so many causes. Now, the Bible uses the word fear 454 times and afraid 103 times. Anxiety, by the way, is a gigantic problem, even in our sacred scriptures. Now, we worry for two reasons. First, we have human needs that must be met every single day. I worry every day. Secondly, we live on earth where everything can change. What was secure yesterday is not secure today. And when Jesus walked on the water to help the apostles, he said, "Do not be afraid. It is I." And when he appeared to the disciples after the resurrection, he said, "Why are you troubled? See my hands and my feet? That is I myself." When Jesus comes, my friends, he calms us. He calms us. Now, St. Faustina wrote, quote, "I only grow anxious when I think of the future. And when I live in God's presence, I'm in peace." Now, St. Louis de Montfort in True Devotion responded by saying, "Without my mother, I would be lost." By saying the Hail Mary, hardened sinners gain a spark of confidence. Mary is the safe path and a direct road to find Jesus. And knowing their need for her help, souls will go to Mary. Mary's followers live without worry if they're true followers. Now, I'm not talking about worshiping Mary. I'm talking about honoring her as the mother of Jesus. Now, life on earth is so difficult. It's becoming more difficult, isn't it? Now, even modern man, with all of our conveniences, we find so much lacking. Suffering comes at any time and in many forms. Now, the strength of youth quickly gives way to middle age. I don't know how I ended up at my age. Wasn't I just 19 in college? Victories are followed by defeats. Dreams are destroyed, sometimes in a single moment. God never intended this world to be this difficult, but mankind changes earth through sin. What is the purpose of our lives? What is the purpose of your life? And the world answers offer little satisfaction. It cannot save the person from hopelessness. It cannot. Mary, God knew that we were a very special mother. So he decided to become a man and have his own mother. So he gave her to us. On the cross, Jesus said to Mary, "Woman, behold your son." And to the disciple, "Behold your mother." Jesus gave us everything, even his own mother. She will lead you who are listening today, from searching to finding, from despair to hope. She's helped millions, even at this moment. You are her next success story. Now, when I was growing up, my mother, who prayed the rosary every day for all of us, would say when we were upset about something, just pray three Hail Marys. Just pray three Hail Marys. Because we didn't have time to pray the rosary. We were running off to school or something was happening. Just pray three Hail Marys. I think about a month ago, I was on social media looking at a Catholic site when up popped this beautiful reel about the power of praying three Hail Marys. I've shared that with my children, my grandchildren, and even if you're in the car, three Hail Marys, so, so powerful. And I didn't know that it was tied back to saints. But again, it is. Just pray three Hail Marys if you can't pray the rosary. Now, St. Louis de Montfort in True Devotion wrote, "St. Francis of Assisi saw Mary at the top of a ladder and was told that he had to go through her to enter eternal glory." Now, Mary welcomes souls into her earthly paradise where they can hide from their enemies. To stay firm in a torrent, to sail through turbulent seas, to be safe in a dangerous countryside are miracles that Mary works for her children. Following Mary, you will never go astray. Now, Francis of Assisi spent his youth in an extravagant living and in fighting wars, and even spending a year as a prisoner of war. And when he was released, he took up his usual ways. And one day, he met a poor man. I know a lot of you know this story. One day, met a poor man and changed clothes with him. Hey, Francis was always well dressed. He took ill, heard a heavenly voice, "Serve the master, not other men." Now, the changing moment came when he gave alms to a leper, then kissed the man. Ever so slowly, my friends, Francis became Christ's obedient follower. Now, St. Louis de Montfort says, the first step to acquiring obedience is a sincere desire for instruction. You don't want to be a know-it-all. And guess what? I remember so many years ago, it was in the 1990s, when doing a interview with Sister Breege McKenna, who many of you know, she's well known for her miracles that she prays through God's intercession around the world. She said in an interview that was recorded for me, no theologian ever studied their way into heaven. No theologian ever studied their way into heaven. So that was pretty profound. I had never heard that before. Well, St. Ludwig de Montfort is basically saying the same thing. We have to be open to instruction. Now, through disobedience, heaven was closed. No one could open it. And through disobedience, hell was opened, and no one could close it. This is de Montfort saying this. God's masterpiece, mankind, became the devil's slave. Millions had to suffer from one man's disobedience. 1,000 times happy is the man in whom obedience has a home. Nowhere is God so present as in the obedient Mary, the Blessed Mother. Right? I want you to think about that. Nowhere. Will you accept the light? Well, without Mary, our mother leading us to Jesus, we have only the world's darkness to guide us. It's always still dark until true devotion leads us to Jesus. St. Augustine listened every Sunday to the preaching of St. Ambrose, but he admits, I always said tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. And one day his moment of light came. I was in a garden. I heard a child's voice. Take and read, take and read. I picked up the Bible and read, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Romans 13, verse 12. Augustine wept and accepted the light. Now, these 33 days of consecration that we're talking about invite you to do the same, to throw off the darkness and be clothed in Mary's light. Now, St. Louis de Montfort wrote in True Devotion, what angel or man can explain God's light? All are really blinded to this wisdom. And the saints went into ecstasy, astonished by God's overwhelming light. And 1,000 times happy is the man in whom God's light has its abode. 1,000 times. Isn't this powerful? Again, we're talking about St. Louis de Montfort, the 33 days of consecration. And I pray that you will stay with me because we're praying for all of you to make this 33 days of consecration. Sin doesn't exist only in actions, but in the way we think, act, and speak. Sin dwells in your desires and in your heart. And due to my inner sinfulness, I build a world that's crooked, twisted, and distorted, and I get locked inside my own selfishness. Now, St. Louis de Montfort said, whoever allows himself to be molded by Mary will acquire every feature of Jesus Christ with little effort. Wow, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? That's really powerful. And some people say, oh, Jesus loves me just as I am. Of course he does. He loves you too much to let you stay the way you are. Jesus dreams of a different you, and Mary will bring it about if you allow her, if you invite her. Now, for years, Augustine was a great sinner. However, the preaching of St. Ambrose, Archbishop of Milan, attracted him greatly, but there was always his sins. He always had that in front of him. He kept putting off the day of conversion. He kept writing. I kept saying, tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow. Do we do that? Oh, no, I'll go to confession tomorrow, next week, next month. We really fall victim to this, don't we? Do not fall into the same trap, my friends. As St. Paul writes, today is the day of your salvation. Now, St. Louis de Montfort writes, let us snatch from the devil our book of sins and atone for them while we're here on earth. Respect the Blessed Mother's hand that forms you. You have an important place in the eternal building, and God will not even condemn a sinner with one foot in hell unless the sinner compels him. Whoever allows himself to be molded by Mary will acquire every feature of Jesus Christ with little effort. With little effort, my friend. That's pretty powerful. That's that three Hail Marys I just shared with you. The Blessed Mother Blessed Mother and Saint Teresa of Calcutta, they made an extraordinary vow that was real only after her death. Now, we've talked about Saint Teresa of Calcutta many times, but she made an extraordinary vow that was revealed only after her death. And very early in her religious life, her confessor allowed her to vow that she would never say no to God in anything. She made this vow under pain of mortal sin. Her years were totally a yes to God. Now, no one ever showed that until after her death. St. Louis de Montfort writes, "When you follow Mary, you will not stray." For 30 years, Jesus said yes to Mary. Jesus wanted Mary at the cross so she could say yes with him to the Father. Because Mary said yes, God has given such great authority, that she seems to have power over the heart of the Trinity. That's not me saying this. That's St. Louis de Montfort in the writings of True Devotion. Now, this is someone I'm very familiar with, so stay with me. St. Charles de Foucauld, that's F-O-U-C-A-U-L-D. He led a wild life in the French Foreign Legion. And when he returned to France, he lived with a devout cousin. Now, one day, he accompanied her to church where he saw a priest hearing confessions. Now, this is St. Charles de Foucauld. He really wanted to discuss something, but the priest got him to confess. And afterwards, he said, "If God forgave me all my sins, I should love him with all my heart." And from that point forward, he said yes. Yeah, that was the moment he went to confession. If God could love him with all his heart, then from that point forward, he could say yes. Now, if you're listening, can we say yes today? Can we say yes with all of our hearts? The cross, according to St. Louis de Montfort, is a fire that purifies the iron of the soul's rust. Very frequently, de Montfort said, God even allows the saints to have humiliating faults. Humiliating faults. God allows humiliations, faults, and temptations, and he often leaves his friends in darkness and perplexity. Now, this is de Montfort saying this. Whenever God crosses, God sends to you today, you are exceedingly light when compared to your sins. Some people pose as Christians, but do little to please God or atone for their sins. Now, could that be someone who is listening? Could that be me? Could that be you? Do we do little to repent? Atone for our sins means to repent. Or we can go to confession and state our sins, and we can stand before God the Father and state our sins. But unless we confess with our hearts and then repent, we need to repent. It's very important. Repentance is a very important part of this. Now, Jesus hates sin. Now, that's quite obvious, isn't it? The modern world has painted a false idea of Jesus Christ. Now, by choosing some of his words, we fashion a Christ who tolerates everything, as if he just stands at heaven's gate, waving everyone in, good or bad, saint or sinner. I've heard this many times. Now, in Mark's gospel, Jesus' first words were repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus wants his friends to repent. And after Jesus saved the woman in adultery, he said, "I do not condemn you. From now on, sin no more." Now, many times Jesus grew angry when he saw sin. In the synagogue, he looked at those with anger because of their hardness of heart. Later in the temple, Jesus overturned the money table, saying, "You have made my father's house a den of thieves." Now, the world tolerates everything and claims there's no sin, right? This is a sin that we no longer see sin. We don't believe we're sinning. This is a sin. The world tolerates everything and claims there's no sin. Now, the gospel states that Jesus will prove the world wrong about sin. That's from John 16, verse 8. Is Jesus angry about our sins? Of course he is, and he wants to take them away. He's merciful. Now, if we let him, that's his life's purpose. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus always gathered the sinners, didn't he? They flocked to him. They joined his company. He welcomed the sinners. They felt no shame when they were around him. Now, the past is the past, and they had gladly left their sins behind them. They all had their stories to tell, the before, the after. They spoke of what they were like before they met Jesus. Now they were new creations. Now the past darkness had changed to light. I want you to read the gospel stories tonight in the sacred scriptures. Read the gospel stories. Now, St. Louis de Montfort said, "The world considers a person wise who is a keen businessman, turning everything to profit. Yet, this businessman ignores God's interest. What a fool. People pose as Christians, but they do little to atone for their sins." We call them, teenagers call them posers. Everyone should know the means to holiness. You find them in the gospel. Growing in holiness is your vocation, my friend. It's your vocation. Guard your tongue. Mortify your bodily senses. And to attain perfect union with Jesus, we must empty ourselves of all sin. And if you're Catholic, that's through the sacrament of confession. De Montfort said, "God wants you to be holy like Jesus in this life and glorious like him in the next. No matter how many sins we have, we can go to God and ask for his forgiveness, can't we?" Now, being in God's presence scatters our sins. "Run, my soul," De Montfort said, "to the Lord Jesus because you have lingered long enough." Jesus, it is pitiful to see how many Catholics are ignorant. They do not know you or the Blessed Mother. Original sin has spoiled them, corrupted them, puffed them out. No one who has faithfully tried to imitate Mary has ever, ever been lost. Mary covers her children with her own merits and gains the Father's forgiveness. These are the words of St. Louis de Montfort. I want you to remember them. Very, very powerful. Now, to receive God's mercy, he asks only that we act mercifully towards others. And to emphasize this needed condition, he told us the parable of the owner who forgave a debt of his servant. However, remember, the servant refused to forgive someone who owed him a small debt. I know somebody listening right now, this is hitting home. On hearing this, the owner withdrew his mercy. We're frail people. We make mistakes, don't we? We even fall back into the same sins. And we all need money, and we all need mercy. What can we do? Show mercy to everyone and seek God's mercy. Jesus promised, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall see God." For many, many years, Jesus appeared to St. Faustina and commissioned her as his secretary of mercy. And he said to her, "Speak to the world about my great and unfathomable mercy." So we often see Jesus who asked to make a portrait. She was asked to do that. We talked about this on maybe two radio shows ago. Jesus said to Faustine, "I perform works of mercy to every soul, not the one who lives on the street or the one who by habit goes to church. The greater the sinner, the greater right he has to God's mercy. Let the greatest sinner trust in me. I cannot punish even the greatest sinner if he appeals to my compassion." I want you to try, and we've talked about this, to read the diary of St. Faustina, and also, as of today, try to find True Devotion by St. Louis de Montfort. Now, St. Louis de Montfort wrote, "Earth cannot make us happy." And that's a real sting, isn't it? Earth cannot make us happy. And this stormy sea that we live in has no perfect calm. And continue to say the Hail Mary, until she places in you heavenly glory. Let no one presume God's mercy who offends God's mother. And many people offend God's mother. Entrust everything to Mary. Her womb is the abode of holy souls in the place of the greatest saints. Now, why is Jesus loved so little then? Because his mercy is too unknown. Within Mary, the Blessed Mother, God's infinite mercy was released in a full flood. It was really released in a full flood. Now, let's go over a few things about De Montfort. He wrote, "The tender-hearted Jesus offered himself for us to appease God's justice and to rescue us from the devil's slavery. The Spirit produces all the elect souls in Mary. Their real birthday is when Mary gives them birth in eternal life. At your death, the devil will work overtime to ensnare you. Death will decide once and for all heaven or hell. And when the Holy Spirit finds Mary in the soul, he enters and saves that soul. We can only be saved in Jesus' name. Until we become slaves of Jesus at baptism, we belong to the devil. We must remain slaves of Jesus so we don't again become the devils. All the graces of the Holy Spirit are given by Mary's hands. An unmistakable sign of being led by the Holy Spirit is to think and speak often. Whoever wants the Holy Spirit must have Mary. She is his spouse. She is his spouse. Now, I know that we have people who are listening who don't want to hear about Mary, and that's okay. That's okay. This is a Catholic radio network. So I'll preach from a Catholic perspective, but encourage and embrace all who listen. So here is a prayer. In the 1990s, I did a television documentary for the Little Sisters of the Poor on the life of St. Charles de Foucauld, F-O-U-C-A-L-D. You can look him up, Charles de Foucauld. And here's the prayer that was sent out with all the videos and DVDs that went out with this, and I would like to share that with you today. Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I'm ready for all. I accept all. Let only your will be done in me, and in all your creatures. I wish no more than this, O Lord. Into your hands I commend my soul. I offer it to you with all the love of my heart, for I love you, Lord, and so need to give myself, to surrender myself into your hands without reserve and with boundless confidence, for you are my Father. Again, I abandon myself into your hands. Can you abandon yourself into the hands of our loving Father and in the Blessed Mother's arms to be embraced this her month? I pray that all who are listening today will be touched by the loving arms of our Blessed Mother, and that through Jesus and through devotion and through the writings of St. Louis de Montfort, we will learn how to abandon ourselves to the will of God the Father. Again, I pray for Janine and her husband Patrick, who asked for special prayers. Because you asked, we will pray. Until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. And please remember to keep this apostolate in your prayer. And I'm asking for that big 50 for Kathleen's 50 years in ministry. God bless you.